Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock God Rick Mexa, and Corey Standard.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, coming your way on the Let's Talk Hookup app, as well as Facebook and YouTube Live. 97.3 The Fan had a great show for that first hour. We signed off with those guys, but really stoked to have you here on the app as well as the fan. As well as the app and all the social media accounts. Having a great time here this morning. Captain Cameron from the Mission Bell at a Point Loma Sport Fishing joining us this morning. We're having fun, man, talking fishing and talking to you. If you want to join us on the second hour, Wayne, it's all about the text.
Yes, it is. Download that text on the App Store, and don't forget, you got to leave your name and your phone number if you want to be part of the raffle. We're giving away one lucky caller or text. Yeah, full day trip on the Mission Bell with Captain Cameron, and you want to join us there. Boy, we got a good a ton of texts coming in. Here's one from Captain Cameron, Ricky Wayne. My question is for Captain Cameron. Occasionally, a greenback mackerel or two will find his way into the bait tank on the boat. Is there a special time where you recommend pinning one of those on, and when you're finding fishing yellows at the Coronado Islands? That's from Ralph in Menifee.
I'm a believer in try it. You know, obviously bait was not, we had bait every trip this year. It may not have been sardine, or it was anchovy, or not enough sardine, but try it. It takes 30 seconds to try it. Hook a mackerel, cast it out. If it swims away and you feel like you're going to get a bite, great. If it doesn't and it swims back under the boat, hook on a sardine.
I love that. Yeah. What is it hurting you to put that thing out?
Yeah.
And if it connects, you're stoked. If it doesn't, you just go right back to what you're doing.
Yeah, it's try.
I love it. That's it. Well, what a good call. Well, with that said, we're going to find out what's going on the water. It is time for our catch report, our fishdope.com reporter, Captain Mark Wish, our private boater buddies on the line today. That report is sponsored by Summit Gasoline at the San Diego Sports Arena. It is the place to fill up your car, your truck, or your boat with the lowest in gas and diesel prices. Also, did you know that Summit is the place to get the lowest prices on ice and snacks before your trip? Over 40 snacks for just 89 cents, as well as sandwiches, salads, frozen bait, too. They have ice at nearly half the price of the others for only $3.99 for a 25-pound bag. Plus, you can get 100 pounds of ice for free with a 35-gallon fill. It's Summit Gasoline, free ice for our Let's Talk Hookup listeners, and always the lowest prices and fuel at the San Diego Sports Arena. We got him. The private boater buddy is on the line. What's up, Mark?
Morning, Mark.
Hey, Ricky, Wayne, Cameron. Great show. And you know that guy that just asked that question about those mackerels? I love fishing them mackerels. You know, you got to manage them because they definitely like to stay up underneath the boat there. They're no dummies. But, man, once you get them away from the boat, something big is going to bite them for sure. Yeah, anyway, what an incredible week of weather we've had. It's sunny, warm, at least once the sun gets up, it's warm, and flat calm offshore. And as a consequence of this beautiful weather, we got a whole bunch more guys got out and about. Everybody got motivated. Got more reports for sure. So along the coast, the water temperature's holding up the way they have been this season. I mean, it's just awesome, and it's really kept the bass fishing pretty darn good. From Santa Monica Bay here to the Orange County South area, South Coast area, that water is all over 60, mostly 61, 62. And it's kept them bass just all fired up, man. They're active. You know, and it's certainly not summertime fishing. Don't get me wrong here. It's definitely winter, and you got to adjust your tackle and techniques. But, you know, for that sand bass fishing on the deeper structure spots along the coast here, you know, they're hanging really close to the structure typically at this time of year. One of the best ways to fish them is squid on a lead head. I mean, that's just wintertime standby scenario. Fish them on heavy gear, guys. It's important, not because the fish are so big, but because much of the time you're fishing, you know, deep structure really close to some bad neighborhoods, and the fish are, like, right down in them. So you need that heavier line to keep from getting busted off. Now, in contrast, total contrast to that, check out Eric Landesfien's SoCal Bite Report on Bloody Decks. He does a report all the time. He does a great job, and he's got a video on there. it's the exact opposite of deep structure fishing. He's fishing calico bass along the Palos Verde Peninsula, fishing crankbaits in absolutely flat, calm weather here just a few days back, and just destroying the big calico bass right on the surface.
Oh,
and
cool.
A whole different, yeah, it's just a whole different deal. And, you know, just the fact that they're fishing the crankbaits, you know, you guys should really take note of what they're doing there because that technique really works. But, you know, to get that kind of fishing in January in shirt sleeve weather.
Oh, that running those crankbaits, those DTs, you just got to change the hooks up because they're freshwater baits. But you put the other hooks on, oh, man, they can be killer.
Yeah.
You know, Mark,
sure.
You've said in your reports for a long time, like it doesn't take the month of January or the month of June. It takes, you know, stable conditions, and the water doesn't have to be hot. It can still be cool as long as it's not changing. And that's the one thing that, boy, we sure have had for a little bit. You know, it's been nice weather for a stretch, and I think we got a good stretch in front of us still to come.
Yeah, we got at least a week. They're hinting at showers here this time next week, maybe. The big maybe, and but in between, you know, we got much the same. You know, I was looking at the buoy reports this morning before the report, and all the buoys, with the exception of outside San Nicolas Island, which was 60, usually 55 at this time of year, it's 60, but everything else was 61, 62, and even 63. The buoy boat committee is 63. I mean, there's got to be a bluefin or two. Probably still swimming around.
I was going to say that, if Cameron, you think if there was a fleet of boats that were out looking for a bluefin tuna, one could be caught within a day or two of here?
You would. On those banks and the shallows, for sure.
That's cool. Got to be, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, or Catalina, you know, all this coverage helped out for sure. Got a lot of reports. And they surprisingly all mirror one another. And unfortunately, the common theme was just tough fishing. I mean, there was some very excellent crews with high technology and a lot of talent. And, man, they did not come up with a whole hell of a lot. You know, there is some bait to be caught. Not a lot on the back. A lot of the areas that had it, it's all dry now. Backside middle, there was some catchable fish. And, in terms of the halibut and sea bass, the occasional barely legal halibut, one or two, like, barely legal sea bass, totally inconsequential, a few shorts here and there. Don't sit on the shorts, guys. The big ones are usually not mixed in with them. But what was really interesting is that the daytime calico bass fishing in a couple different spots was really good. And, again, it's January. But you got 61, 62-degree water on the backside of Catalina at this time of year with a tank of live squid and a guy that knows how to anchor up on the spots properly. And they just wallop the calico bass. Now, that's daytime fishing, and that's really kind of unusual. But there's a whole nother dimension to calico bass fishing at the island and other places, but I'm talking specifically about Catalina. And that's nighttime bass fishing. Now, I know it's not for everybody. I mean, you know, you guys get out there poking around catching your squid, you think nothing of it. But to take that squid and move over to a deep structure spot, put the anchor out and fish nighttime bass in the wintertime, it's just, you know, it don't work for a lot of people. But I'm telling you what, guys, them bass nighttime on the deep structure spots, it can be really, really good. And, you know, a little chilly. I mean, we fished them one time in about this time of year on the front side in the isthmus, fishing ship rock there with ice forming on the guides. So, whoa. But they were biting.
I'm a hard pass on that night. Yeah. It sounds like a good time nonetheless.
Yeah, it's fun stuff. Now, Ricky, last week you did in your report, you did a little segue into your trip up to CalStar.
Yeah, and
that got me motivated because I was derelict in my duty to get up and see Chris and John and that new facility they have, which is absolutely fantastic. So I went up there this week and got the tour just like you did. What a great operation they got going on. Saw some new cool stuff. Saw those jigging rods that you were talking about. And John was showing me a new 9-foot 270 that they're working on. And all kinds of cool stuff happening up there. What a What a fantastic operation Chris and John and all the rest of the team got going up there at CalStar. It's so nice to see that coming together the way it is. Oh, my God.
It's an impressive facility, man. You can sure see Chris's background in aerospace come through into the facility that he and John and that team put together. It is very special, and it just lets you know the future of those rods is in a really, really good direction.
Yeah, that's for sure. The 270 blank that I have that they gave me when they first finished them there, I've got it just about ready to come off the wrapper to go catch a sea bass over at Catalina here in another week or two. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to
it. Well,
you
make sure to send us a picture when that first sea bass comes over the rail on your new rod. We'll get it up on the on the site there. Mark, a great job.
Yeah.
Really appreciate that. You always spend so much time putting this report together for all of our listeners, and we sure appreciate everything you do at Pacific Edge.
We appreciate it, man. Thank you so much. We're located there in Huntington Beach, and we're on the corner of Bolsa Chica and Edinger. And phone number is area code 714-840-4262. The website's PacificEdgeTackle.com, and we will put up some pictures. And just because I hope Corey's listening, dude, the white flowers on the dogwood trees are going crazy, weeks ahead of schedule.
I like to hear it.
Hey, Mark, I know white sea bass is such a passion for you. I'm just giving you a heads up. There is a conversation about a potential reg change for white sea bass on the size limit. So that's in conversation. It'll be happening, talking about this year at the IRC and stuff.
Well, I got plenty of thoughts for you if anybody cares.
I think we're going to need help from the public on this one. How many, if we go and make it a longer length to bring on the boat, how many are going to get hurt because you don't know until you bring it on the boat, and they're very temperamental. They do not handle well once you put them in a net and bring them on the boat. So that's going to be part of our...
That's so true.
Yeah. So
I hope what else you guys can do is work on that commercial season, because it is just wrong that those guys can sit there and just brutalize those spawning schools of fish in the springtime with no limit, no restrictions. This is absolutely sick. So,
well, we look forward to your input when we do it. Yeah.
I'll have a little input for you.
Perfect.
Sure.
Mark, as always, buddy, sure appreciate everything you do. We look forward to talking to you next week.
You got it. We'll see you guys.
All right. Thanks a lot for that, buddy. That report sponsored in part by the Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego, where you get the premier processing experience. Check out the easier online system for your processing for your long-range trips. With more team members, Fisherman's Processing stays far ahead of the rest. More same-day capacity, the finest in customer service. You can stop by their location in Old Town on Taylor Street or check fishermansprocessing.com. Be sure you make that reservation today. And, man, absolutely packed up full of text messages. Everybody's excited to get one in for Cameron. We're going to start it off with John, who's texting us from Rancho San Diego. What a great show, guys. Cameron, can you give us a little rundown of what your go-to setup is for fly lining for yellowtail and the Mission Bell? Also, a little inside baseball, how do you like to pin your baits on? And do you think there's ever a situation when fishing the bell where a spinning reel can be used, could or should be used? Thanks for your input.
This is a good question.
Yeah, right?
You know, I'm a 25-pound fly line bait setup guy, 25, 30-pound, depending on where and what we're fishing. I think the biggest thing I saw this year, kind of getting back into the full day game, mono is so easy for people to fish with. And there's guys, I know you're a straight braid, short top shot, and there's a time and a place and an angler for that. If you fish once or twice a year, 100 yards of mono, 100 feet or 100, you know, just, it makes your life so much easier.
It's easier to cast.
It's easier
to manage your bait. You stay out of more tangles.
When you're winding in, you're not, you know, Spectre, you see a guy winds in really fast and it's loose. He casts his bait off. And there was so much frustration that I saw from it. And, you know, I'd just like, are you opposed to mono?
Yeah.
No. And I'd, you know, grab one of the guys or myself and dial a guy in. And it doesn't, you don't need a lot, but a little bit. And it makes such a difference for the average angler.
I think one of the hurdles to get over is people get themselves convinced that they're missing something by not doing it the other way, and that's not the case. if you can keep yourself out of problems for 99% of the time, maybe if you draw all the conclusions in the 100% perfect world, if your bait is pulling a piece of specter through the water, maybe he swims a little bit better, and at one point a little burst out of him maybe gets a bite. So, like, that's what your pro is. But if the con is tangles 50% of the time and, you know, not staying in contact with your bait, and two out of the three casts that you make, the specter doesn't come off the reel nice and it hangs up and your bait falls off, and all of those things add up to, you know, if your benefit is so little, but it's hurting you on all the other things, it's not a benefit.
No, I mean, my personal rod that I fish with, I have 100 feet of mono. And I tie fluorocarbon to that. Mm-hmm. And as I kind of start going through my line, and, you know, I'm lazy and don't add line, as soon as I start casting into my knot or dealing with too much spectra, it's an all stop for me. Mm-hmm. And add mono. And then, you know, hooking baits, it's so situational, whether we're on the anchor, a lot of current, slack current. The nose hook works great. I'm not a big nose hook guy personally. I'm a shoulder or a butt hook, mm-hmm. quick bites. We had a kid fishing this year. I think we had 30 yellowtail. He hooked 8.
Come on.
On what? A breast hook sardine.
I love it. Okay.
Really?
And I was starting to get frustrated. Like, how are you? And I watched him, and he, you know, the forward fins, he was hooking, and we had good current, and it was, and so now I find myself doing it. And what I tell people, you know, I try to cast people out, and I'm helping, and, oh, why'd you hook it like that? It's like, just try.
I look at it, and if everybody's doing something, I want to be different. I don't want my bait in the same spot, the same way. I want to be away from that. That's how I look at it.
And then, you know, if you maybe you shoulder hook them and you cast it out and you get a bite, now you have the confidence.
Yeah.
And now you know what the feel is. And maybe that's how you hook them. But if you just, you know, if you're constantly nose hooking and you're not getting bites and other guys, look around and see what other people are doing.
One question that comes up, the mackerel thing, the question came up earlier. Do you always nose hook a mackerel?
No. I no.
Yeah. I would belly hook it because I want it to go down and away.
Yeah.
Right.
When you're choosing to, you know, you talked about the young man that was breast hooking them and nose hooking them. And is there a time that you choose to do one thing over another, like situational, and what is it for that thing?
It seems like if there's a lot of current and we're anchored up, the belly hook's tough. You know, you can get away with a quick 30-second bait, and it shoots away. But once it's out in the current, it's pulling against the – it's not natural. Where a nose hook or a shoulder hook,
okay.
Now it's kind of fishing into the current. And you can kind of stop your spool, and you're still fishing, rather. If it's a belly hook, you're kind of helicoptering back there.
Yeah.
You kind of mentioned it in the best way possible in what you said on everything else. Just fish. Just try it. Just do this. Just do that. But And I know I know that I'm asking you a question that's also not black or white, but when do you decide too long has been too much for a bait? You know, it seems like sometimes if you're not bit in 15 seconds, that it's over. Your window has gone. Or if it's 30 seconds, your window is gone. And sometimes you need to get the bait behind the boat. Like when you're putting your shoes as, you know, as Cameron the angler, not Cameron driving the boat, like, how does a guy make that decision when he's live bait fishing?
You know, I kind of see where the fish are showing.
Okay.
You know, if they're boiling maybe a jig cast and a half, and I try to maybe judge, like, okay, I should be in that zone. But if it's been a minute or two, especially yellow, you know, tuna fishing, long soak, different story. Mm-hmm. But, you know, yellowtail fishing, you get a minute and a half on a bait, a minute, that's a long time.
Totally.
I like to be on the tank. Because I can kind of watch and quarterback it.
Sure.
You know, and it's, as the captain, I watch. You know, it's like, well, Wayne's getting bit in 30 seconds, and Rick hasn't had a bite all day. You know, Rick, hey, just try a quick bait. Try 30 seconds.
It's so hard if you have a good swimming bait, though, and he's getting away, and you're sitting there going, oh, he's still swimming. I don't want to get rid of him. But he's past the zone, like you're saying.
He's past the zone, or you know, maybe we think it's a good bait, but maybe you're just sucked into the current now,
right,
and you're going.
Totally. Yeah, very true.
And the more line you have, the bigger the tangle can end up, right. For sure.
I think I fish a bait too short sometimes to a fault, but I think that the fault in that just, I can't stand a bait that's not ripping line off my reel. Mm-hmm. I always say it like, everybody knows when you cast a bait out, when one hits the water and takes off, and you instantly in your mind, like, oh, this thing's going to get a bite. This is going to get a bite. I always think, like, if you're not fishing that one, well, then why just keep changing it until you are?
Right.
I mean, everybody knows the one that hits the water. Like, they're guaranteed something is going to eat this one. And if you don't have that level of confidence, I'm just going to swap him out until you do. And sometimes that means going through him too fast, but...
You got to find that right bait, because, man, you just
because I don't want to go down to Wayne. I hated that scenario. Are you kidding me? Like, I'm not going down to Wayne. Like, there's no way.
Yeah, I'm staying out of that
down the rail. You know. I don't have a bite yet? Like, not even a bite, you said?
And it's frustrating.
I hated that scenario.
And it's frustrating. You see guys that, you know, that's hard to catch a bait out of it. You know, it's a lot of work at times, you know, changing your bait fast and stuff like that. But I, you know, it's fast-paced. This is our
it's
shot.
It's so funny, because if you, like what he said right there, you go from one part of the stern to the other side. If you're not bit, you're changing the bait and doing it again.
Yeah.
You never go down that rail, right?
Yeah,
because you're
conveyor
not
belt.
Soak a bait. Yeah.
Start at the gates and you end up in the center stern, start over.
I mean, Wayne was fishing yellow spectrum in the wrong spot. How am I going down to Wayne? Like, there's just no way.
That was blue spectrum, sorry.
Wayne, you had a good text, Anibal?
Yeah. There's one that Mike H. in Mission Viejo. A question for Wayne and Cameron. Can CCA provide a bullet point sheet to cover the highlights that the petition letter, would need to cover so that we can be impactful as a committee of readers as possible? Absolutely. Go up to the CCA website. They already have it out there that goes petition by petition and the rationale on either support or deny and why. So just go up there. It's already done. It's very good. And they've had it up there for a little while. So, yeah, thank you.
There it is. All right. Hey, and another fun one says, good morning, Rick, Wayne, and Captain Cameron. The Mission Belle is always such a fun boat to fish on. I can say that I fished on it for the first time at the beginning of last summer, proceeded to fish a handful more trips since then. I haven't been on the islands yet. All of our trips have been offshore, but I'm hoping to get my first trip into the islands with Captain Cameron this year. Could you give us a rundown on how you like to set up a dropper loop rig for yellowtail? What kind of loop knot, what size test, sinker, etc.? That's from Rory in Lakeside.
I'm a spider hitch. You know,
I like it.
We all know our kind of half day. I don't know the proper name of the knot, but the half day, you know, twist, pull it through.
A little rockfish dropper loop.
Rockfish.
Where the loop goes right through the
middle. Yeah, which is great for that. But for yellowtail fishing, I like a spider hitch. You double up your line, 40, 50 pound test. And the nice part is you can always change your sinker. You know, there's times we're fishing in less than 100 feet of water, and there's times we're in 150 feet of water. I try to fish the smallest sinker that keeps me straight up and down. You know, whether it's maybe it's a 4 ounce or maybe it's a, you know, an 8 ounce.
That's a good tip. The one thing I'll say with the dropper loop, if you're trying to catch something like a yellowtail, if you're going to catch something that you need to pull on, and it's a little bit hard to describe on the radio, but the barrel of your knot, it needs to point at where your hook is at.
Yeah.
And then on a rockfish dropper loop, like Cameron's talking about, your hook comes out the center of that knot. So when you're pulling hard against a fish, you're folding the knot in half to try and get the fish back to the boat. And there's just no strength there. And whether you're tying a spider hitch or a surgeon's or whatever flavor of loop you like, all of those strong ones, all the rafts or the barrel is pointed at the hook. And you just need to do that if you're pulling on something rather than just winding a fish up off of the bottom.
Absolutely.
And like in a halibut, if you're using like the reverse dropper loop, then it becomes a thing again. If like you're tying your sinker to that loop, you know, the barrel, now it's pointed, you know, it's pointed at the, what would on a normal dropper, it's pointed at the sinker. You know, if you're going in a reverse, like it's fine, but the strength is in the direction that those wraps are in, not popping up the center there.
Absolutely. So we have another one. Juan, he's asking, hey gentlemen, quick question for Cameron. What's the best spot to fling surface iron on the Mission Belle?
I mean, the bow's legendary. There's been a lot. We have a really wide opening at kind of the gate or the end of the house. That's a great kind of, if the bow's busy, that's kind of where I'll sneak in. But, it, you know, the bow.
Yeah.
And it's such a classic bow for it, too, man. That
yeah.
Just, that's why I just know you're... Your decision to buy that boat was so perfect. It is you can't hardly put pen to paper and draw a better local full-day platform than that boat.
And I'm just in it. We're not the biggest. The wheelhouse is close. It's like, we stop the boat and I come out of the wheelhouse. It's like, I'm right there with the, you know, the guys throwing iron and getting bites, and you walk out of the door and you're gaffing.
I love it. It's certainly the right rig for it. Well, again, a great text and appreciate that very much. Another one came through. This one is from Jeff in Santee. Captain Cameron, we're really interested in chartering the boat. Can you give us a little more rundown on how busy the season is booking up? I have a group of 20. What do you feel is the ideal charter size for either boat? And one more time, can you give us the rundown of how we book it?
20 is perfect.
Okay.
20 is sweet. 20 people fit in the galley and all hang out on the way out. It's comfortable. It's 20 feet across the stern if we're anchor fishing. I would say call me. Okay. I like to, you know, you can call the landing, and the landing does a great job of selling it, but you can call me direct. It's 619-693-2676, and we'll talk fishing. We'll talk what you want to do.
I think that's such a good call, too, because you know the boat, and you know what other people have experienced. And in a one-on-one talk, you can decide a little bit on if the group is too small or too big, or the type of fishing that one might expect, and to appropriately manage those expectations based on the time of year.
And we get charters where it's, you know, maybe the charter master, he likes fishing, but his 19 friends have never done it, and hey, Cam, we just want to go get bites.
What a good point that is.
And it's like, okay, and then we can kind of cater to that, and okay, well, we should fish the islands. Let's go do some cod drifts, get everyone bites and fish to take home, and then we'll move into the islands and, you know, try to catch a few jackpot fish.
You might have a group that just wants to go trophy hunting and has no problem striking out because they know they were in the zone of a big one the whole time. Or a day of whitefish fishing is going to be the most fun they've had ever, and trying to yo-yo up a yellowtail that doesn't want to be yo-yoed up.
Yeah, and we've done it with charter groups. You know, it's offshore, and it's like, okay, let's get passports.
Yeah.
And, you know, we kind of start doing the loop and talking to the overnight guys and everyone. It's like, I don't know if today's our day. And we've ended up at the rock pile fishing yellowtail.
And there again is the beauty of a family operation like yours. Like, when you're calling the corporate headquarters of the Mission Bell, like, it's your cell phone that's ringing.
Yeah, it's me.
The phone bank team of people that's going to get back to you is Cameron.
Yeah. I send a lot of, hey, sorry, I didn't see this email. You know, I'm not real good at checking it, but
I just got back in range.
Yeah, it's me. Yeah,
that's awesome. Well, I like to hear it.
Hey, we got another one coming in. It's primarily a freshwater bass guy, and mostly because I don't handle seas well. What have you seen or recommend to do for motion sickness? That's Ron in Inglewood.
That's a good call.
That is a good call. The patch works great. I would, you know, day before, kind of let your body acclimate to it, because it is. It's prescription. Mm-hmm. It's heavy dose. A patch, and then we've seen these the relief bands.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And whether it, you know, there's guys put them on, or I've seen a guy, I always carry it in my tackle box for my wife, and he goes and hands it to, you know, a gal or someone on the boat that's seasick, and it's like, at 9, they just want off. By 1 o'clock, it's, you know, they're yelling in the corner, hook up.
I love that. And I we were talking about those a while ago, and I believe that Dustin over at C4 Sport Fishing, the tackle shop, I know that they've got those over there, the electronic ones, and they're a bit of an investment, but what a rad thing for you to carry. One, if you're like, you know, occasionally you're susceptible to it, just to have something that could bring you back, or how cool to be the hero to somebody like that on the boat that's really struggling, and you can put something on them. And I'm sure, like anything, it doesn't work for everybody, but boy, if the stars align and it does, you're the savior.
And anyone who likes largemouth bass fishing likes Coronado Island fishing.
Period. No doubt about it.
You know, we see a lot of professional bass guys, and, you know, they kind of look at this iron thing, and, you know, they start doing their bass thing, and they're into it.
It's cool. It's the ultimate chucking, winding, getting a bite, the fish pull hard.
Yeah, calico bass fishing, plastics, and all that.
I love it, man.
Absolutely. Oh, man.
Well, he had a fun text come through. It says, hey, good morning, guys. What a fun show with Captain Cameron. I'm really intrigued on your boat. I got a chance to tour it at Day at the Docks, and it looks fantastic. I'm wondering if you could give us a little bit of background on the boat, how you got it, and how you connected with the Mission Bell. Also, what's the capacity to comfortably fish on your boat? I know you covered that part a little bit.
Yeah.
But give us a rundown of the boat and how you came to make the decision to be the
first boat I ever worked on.
No, I didn't know that.
Really? Yeah, 14 years old.
I had no idea. That's cool.
Dad dropped me off to go fishing. It was the first year Booger had owned the boat. Tara was a deckhand wearing his puka shells.
I love it.
And it was kind of one of those things, hey, you can come out whenever you want. You know, you just got to kind of help the guys. And it was like, you know, my parents didn't have a lot of money. It was expensive. Right. And like, oh, sign me up. And so it was the first boat I had ever, you know, worked on. And to the point where I remember unhooking a sand dab and like, oh, that's too short of a halibut. You know, 14-year-old,
yeah,
you know.
Sure.
And then I remember crying in the bathroom because I got stung by my first sculpin. And I was so embarrassed to tell the boss.
I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And it was it's just been home kind of in a weird way. And the first trip I was kind of the pinhead, you know, I got to go in the wheelhouse, you know, and Booger looked right at me and he goes, you can't help the people up here.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, oh, and, you know, and it was, it was this weird thing. And then obviously being at Point Loma Sport Fishing, American Angler, Vagabond for a long time, Steve Peterson had acquired the Bell and I had looked at, you know, it was just the Mission Bell, you know, I was a long range guy. And as life changed and kids and wanting to be home a little bit, and my wife and I talked kind of about the next step in our future, and I called Steve Peterson, and, you know, there wasn't a for sale sign.
I love that.
And what do you think? And it took a couple of weeks, and he called me, and he goes, you know what? Let's do it.
Yeah.
And so we acquired the boat December of 24.
What a great story. It feels like it was really meant to be.
Yeah, it's really weird to, like, look back and think about, like, those times as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And now walking up the dock or walking down the dock and, like, well, it's still, like, that's mine.
The thing that makes me so happy about it, too, is you know, just in the stories that you tell, like, you had such a great opportunity to come up with guys that really shared a lot of what made them successful. Both in, like, treating, you know, obviously the fishing thing, there's no doubt, you know, you are a very successful fisherman and you're very good at it. But one of the things you guys do is you treat people with such respect and you're just so good with everybody that comes fishing with you. And you can tell that a lot of people who do it really good imparted that on you. And it's very fun to get to see you get to do that with the pinhead who's also going to be crying because he got stung by a sculpin. And, like, what a cool opportunity for you to get to pass that along.
So lucky for the guys that have kind of that have surrounded and helped me through my career. You know, it's Sam Pateau, and I went on the American Angler when I was 18. You know, he said seamanship.
What?
Yeah. What do you mean? You know, and then all of a sudden you're traveling up and down the coast for 4 days and you're learning about seamanship and tying things down and making sure people are safe. Or, you know,
yep.
Brian and Mike Lackey, they go down and talk in the galley for hours.
Right.
Yep.
And, you know, if you were the one waiting for them to come up so you could go to bed, it's like, what are they talking
to?
But, the, you know, it reflects in their business where both operations are so successful. And people that go on the Vagabond every year, it's not a matter of, oh, we caught them. How many we caught?
Yeah.
It's the experience.
Exactly.
And that's a big part.
Angler same way. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
No, that's very true because they'll remind you it's a service-based business every time.
100%.
Yeah, I love what you just said about Boog, too, that, you know, like, hey, you can't be helping people when you're up here. Even you're the kid, and, like, now I kind of work on the boat. I'm one of the boys. I'm going to hang out in the wheelhouse. It's like, well, this isn't where work happens. Work happens back out there.
Yeah, I got this.
Yeah.
Well, as you can hear, man, we're having some great conversations. This will keep going. We're reading all your texts. Keep going. Remember, get that on the app store and text us with your name and your phone number because there's a couple coming in without it. Hey, we're giving away one lucky caller or texter. Get a full day trip on the Mission Bell, and we'll be right back.
The San Diego Rodeo is happening soon at Petco Park, and your San Diego County Ford dealer can get you there as the official truck. Take a test drive at your local San Diego County Ford dealer and get two complimentary tickets to the San Diego Rodeo that's happening January 16th through the 18th. It's only while supplies last, and the tickets are going fast. Don't miss out. Be sure to visit buyfordnow.com to find your local participating Ford dealer to take your test drive today.
It's time for the Power Pro 30-second seminar. I like catching big fish, and I like smaller reels, too. How do I make sure that I have the capacity to land the big one? I fill my reels with Power Pro Max Quattro. It's 25% thinner than standard Power Pro, so you get more line on that small reel. Power Pro has a complete series of highly effective lines, including the brand new Power Pro Depth Hunter Offshore, with different colors every 100 feet. Perfect for flatfall fishing. Want to learn more? Check PowerPro.com.
Hey, we're talking about Shimano. Can't go to the Coronado Islands without taking a Trinidad or a Talica. What do you think, Cam?
20A.
There you go. It's been redesigned. It's silky smooth. How can you go wrong with that reel? It does everything. 25 pound, 50 pound, doesn't matter. It can handle it all.
It's from fly lining to surface iron. It's undisputedly the best.
Absolutely.
I don't think there's ever been a reel created that casts a surface iron better than a Trinidad 20.
And how well they hold up. I mean, mine lives on the boat all year, and it's just doesn't look the prettiest, but it's
bulletproof.
Yeah.
They're bulletproof. And they stay silky smooth.
Yeah.
They just do. There's nothing better than the Trinidad 20A.
Yeah, you get yourself a Trang for bass fishing, a Trinidad for casting a jig, a Torium for fly line and live bait. You got yourself a perfect Corn on All Islands outfit.
Absolutely.
This is Bill Varney with the 2026 CCA Sport Fishing Calendar, and I'd like to thank our advertisers, sponsors, and customers for their support. The calendar provides much-needed funding and highlights CCA's fight to protect marine habitat and your right to fish. If you need a tight calendar to plan your fishing trips, you'll find them at most tackle shops, landings, and online at surffishtackle.com. Thank you again for joining, volunteering, and supporting CCA California.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. We're in the studio with Cameron from the Mission Bell, and we're having a little technical difficulty, looks like, with the video. So, yes, thank you. We're getting texts from it. We're having some great conversations. We're going to be talking. We have one text right now, Gary White, the Iron Man. He says, morning, everyone. Let's Talk Hookup. Used to run charters on the Mission Bell, mostly kids' trip. Just want to say how kid-friendly and safe the boat is.
Oh, it's awesome. We do. We had a couple kid trips this year. Rich, they do a bunch of charters on the Searcher, and he just said, "Hey, I want to bring the kids." And so we did. We had 20 kids on the boat. The Fish 101 guys. We do a kids charter with them. Or John Park, just it's him and the kids.
I love it. How fun is that?
Renee came from the Shogun to help out, and. I mean, we did Parade of Lights, Jack, and we had 10 of his buddies tearing it up and running all over the place, and it's safe.
That's awesome. Well, speaking of kids' trips, you got your first mate in here and joining you. Now, Jack, I know you fish a lot. We get to see the pictures a lot. Are you stoked that Dad bought the Mission Bell? You have fun fishing on the Bell?
Yeah.
That's awesome. What is your favorite type of fishing to get to go do with your dad?
Bass.
Bass fishing. Now, I got a big question. Because I know you do a lot of bass fishing. I know you do a lot of bass fishing with Grandpa in the lake, and I know you do a lot of saltwater bass fishing. Do you like one more than the other? You a bigger fan of fishing on the saltwater, or do you like fishing in the lakes with Grandpa?
I like fishing in the lake.
Okay. I think that's a solid base.
Wow.
Well, it's certainly a lot of fun, and I know that you guys have had a lot of fun fishing on the boat. And like you said, Cam, that was a big thing about it is – there is not a better platform to get to take a kid, somebody fishing like Jack, to go fishing on, because you're there for an extended amount of time, but it's very comfortable. You and your crew do such a good job, like, making that environment the right spot. It's a really, really cool, it's a cool experience.
And, you know, the nice thing with the islands is 99% of the time we're in good weather. I mean, there's days it's choppy and stuff, but you put anchor down and it's comfortable for them. And we have our ringer, you know, Karen, our cook. The kids are always hooked up.
I love it.
They do well.
I got a good one. Karen's been on there forever. I grew up almost pretty much fishing with them. How many jars of Odalisk does she have now? She cleans fish, and she constantly is pulling those out and keeping them.
Yeah.
And she has one of the largest collections I've ever seen.
She's one of the best fish cutters. Besides, you know, the fisherman's processing gear and all that, but, I mean, she's been teaching me how to cut fish better. Her knife skills would match up against anyone.
I love
that. She can do it in her sleep.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Fast, clean, perfect, to regulation, everything.
I love it. Well, hey, speaking of Jack's favorite thing to do, bass fishing, that brings us up to our next text, and it was a fun text, and it comes from Steve in Point Loma. It says, I'm a calico bass nut, and I really enjoy calico bass fishing. Cameron, can you give us a rundown of what you think is the best time of year to go fishing at the islands on your boat and potentially experience some calico bass fishing? Don't get me wrong, I like catching yellowtail, but bass is my favorite.
We had such good bass fishing this year, and it's funny because... you know, everyone's yellowtail crazy. And it's, you know, they catch calico bass and they come over the rail and it's like, oh, yeah, not a yellowtail. But the guys that come out and throw lures and plastics and MCs and do all that, the fishing's crazy. Like, we've had such good fishing on SKR this year. And we had a couple Dana Point guys, and they're like, this is insane. 3-4 pounders. And a big part of that was, you know, anchovy this year.
Yes.
This spring, with that anchovy at the Coronado Islands, was as good as you would want bass fishing.
That's such a thing, too, because, you know, when the guys were offshore trying to catch big bluefin, big bait sure makes a big difference. You know, it's easy to cast and it's easy to get a bite. But, man, having that small bait for calico bass fishing, something about sprinkling those anchovies in the water, it flips a switch that nothing else does.
Like it's the game changer.
It is. Whether you like catching them on a plastic or whatever else, you start putting a little bit of that small bait in the water, it just makes those things. You said the words letting their guard down. Like, nothing drops the guard like a couple of sprinkles and some chove in the water.
I mean, how many times do we complain that, you know, we're not catching them and it's like there's too much anchovy in the water. There's too much fish food, you know, and we're starting with our sardines. And, you know, bait was a challenge this year. You know, it's... Especially, you know, my generation of guys, we've been spoiled. Every time we go to the receiver, it's sardine.
Yeah, you guys didn't grow up with the anchovy.
We didn't grow up with it.
And yeah, we grew up with it on the heavy line, straight mono.
And, you know, all the old-timers, they like, oh, these kids, you know, they can't fish anchovies. You know, anchovies. Fly line an anchovy with, a Trinidad 12.
Yeah.
Easy.
No problem.
No problem, right? You know, and we had great bluefin fishing straight anchovies. And just adapting, and I went and bought split shots. And rubber cores.
Exactly.
I was pulling them off the shelf, you know, and blowing the dust off them because they've been there for however long. But it's
I always get myself in trouble, and I'm going to do it again. I'm always getting in trouble for saying things that I'm not supposed to say about people's big things. But Mark talked about us getting to go up to CalStar and check out the thing. I won't be specific because I'm sure I'm letting more far too out of that. Those guys have put their heads together, and like John now has this like crazy like loose leash to get to do whatever's in the John head of building cool rods at CalStar, and like their inventory is better and all these things, but they have some really cool small bait rods that are brand new, that have, you know, whether they be like different versions and adaptations of what they have, longer versions of bait rods that we already like, and like brand new blanks. Like the PCS show is going to be so cool at some of the new things that float out of CalStar. And I'm sure that I shouldn't have said that already, and I'm sure I'll get my talking to about it, but there was such cool stuff coming out of that area. Like, we got up there for the little tour, and we put our plan together. We went and sat with John and Chris, and these are the things that we're hoping to do with Fisherman's Lining Tackle, and we're so proud of our partnership with CalStar. You know, what do you guys think about this? And there was never a no. No no's came out of it ever. And it was also, hey, what do you guys think about this? And it was like, dude, it's like being in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, like getting to see all the cool stuff that they're building. But there is a lot of small bait rods coming out of CalStar with that in mind. You know, you still need to be able to catch a bluefin, but cast an anchovy. Hey, what do you think about this? And John's just like giving this crazy free run of like, oh, you want to add some graphite or glass to this particular pattern? Try this, see what comes out. And man, when I was saying that the future of CalStar is so bright, like there is some really good stuff coming down the pipeline.
Your warning is out there. You better start saving some money because we're going to be buying product at the shows.
I was just going to say, Jack, you ready to go fishing pole shopping at Chris's?
It's gonna be fun.
I know a yes when I see one for sure. Well, hey, we had another come text come through. Let me bring that one right back up. It says, good morning, guys. What a great show as always. I love hearing from Captain Cameron and the younger generations of captains. It's been a year since you've had the bell now. What would you say was the biggest thing you've learned from having the boat? And what are some of the things you really look forward to with your beautiful new rig? Thanks for everything you do, from Mike in San Diego.
Ooh, that's a good one. You know, I think as far as, like, kind of moving forward, it's just kind of doing what we did last year. We had a lot of new passengers that I've never fished with, maintaining all the relationships with, you know, the Steve P. loyalty guys and meeting that expectation. And then creating our new set of you know, regulars and guys that fish once a week with us and or their annual trip from out of town and just creating a brand of Mission Bell that it's, you know, competitive and we fish as hard as we can, but it's an awesome, comfortable place to fish.
It's such a unique space because you're right. The boat has had such a great following, and you got to protect that because the people who came before you built it and did such a good job. So you have a commitment to those guys, and it's not an easy playing field. There's some really good fishermen out there. And the thing that I think is the most fun is that they're all your buds. You know, they're the guys that you worked with, they're the guys that you worked for, they've been your colleagues, but now they're the guy that you share the water with all the time. It's a very unique mix that has come together with the Bell.
Yeah, competing with Uncle Taro.
You think Dad kicks Taro's butt every time?
Yes.
Yeah, you're damn right. You're right, Dad. That's awesome. Now, Jack, are you looking forward to going fishing this summer on the boat?
Yeah.
And I know you said bass fishing was your favorite. More so, do you like to cast lures when you're catching bass, or do you like fishing with bait?
Like bait.
Okay, I like it. I like it. And cool. And calico bass is your favorite thing.
Yeah.
Have you done yellowtail fishing with Dad yet?
No.
Okay. All right. Is that one of the goals that we have coming up?
Yes.
Okay. I like it. That works for me, man. I'm in.
Yeah.
That's cool. Well, we got another fun text coming through, Wayne. I know you said you had one lined up.
Yeah, Sarah in Arizona, she says, what is the youngest age you would recommend taking your daughter fishing on the Mission Bell? My daughter is already asking to go.
What a great question.
I think I know this, Sarah. Auntie Sarah? Probably. Delilah? I think it depends a lot on the kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's some kids that being in one spot for 12 hours is a super long day. And there's kids who it's what they want to do. So Jack will be 5, and this will be the first year, or he'll be 6 for the summer. And this will be the first year he comes on the boat with me. But it's hard. If I'm on the boat, I'm working.
Yeah,
you know.
And I think you said something very important there. When your goal is for it to be the right time to step up to that length of a trip, I think that at least in the beginning of it, like you need to go with the responsibility of making it, you know, your person who you're taking that kid's trip. You know,
right.
It's not a trip for you to see how many calico bass you can get and then some too. Like you're there to make sure that trip is right from start to finish.
Yeah, that's kind of our plan. I know he'll want me to drive when he comes on the Bell, but like we're gonna bring Papa Mikey.
Yeah. Totally.
And Papa Mikey and Jack can tear it up. That is a huge... Unfortunately, we see it at times, you know. And it's expensive. Dad, you know, it's his day off, too. And,
sure.
You know, he wants to catch one, and then I'll get my son one. And that's when, like, Karen comes in.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that kid is golden. And now the kid's going to catch more than the dad.
Totally.
But, yeah, make the trip about...
Always.
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 I mean, I remember so distinctly the times when, like, man, you get to get a grilled cheese sandwich anytime you want. All you got to do is tell them my number is 16 and a grilled cheese sandwich comes your way. And, you know, like, it's your job to create the fun and keep that in mind for the first few. Because once you do that and that foundation, that's it. You got a fishing bud for life. Son, daughter, doesn't matter, you know.
I go into the galley, you know, and fill my coffee cup up when we're stopped and fishing, and I'll kind of see a kid lurking and kind of looking at all the candy bars, and it's like, grab one. Really? It's like, if it's okay with your dad, and you see him run, Dad, can I have a candy, you know? And yeah, it's like, all right, which one do you want, you know? And that's what it's all about. If he wants to fish for 10 minutes of the trip and he likes, you know, playing with sardines, play with sardines.
Totally.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We do a lot of kids' trips, you know, up and down the state, and that it's all about the kids enjoying that experience and letting them explore and try things. And,
yeah.
You know, let them play with a few fish and feed a couple of seagulls. It's not going to kill anything, you know. It's always good.
That's fun.
So we have another one here. Question for Cameron. What's the ideal yo-yo fishing setup or yellowtail at the islands, rod, reel, jig, et cetera, Elmer in Spring Valley? Your ultimate. What would be the one if I only get one?
Rod blanks are tough. I'm the worst. I Chris was super gracious and did a 6470. Does that make sense?
6470 is very cool. Yeah, it's a 7 foot kind of fast GG. 50 pound rod.
Yeah, that's my current one, and I have a Fathom 40 on it. Something in that kind of 4.0 size, 40-50 pound test. I like mono when I yo-yo.
Totally.
And then depth for jig size. If I can get away with a 6X Junior.
Why fight a bigger jig if you don't have to?
Totally. I'm a Salas 6X Junior guy.
Okay.
I am true to the brand.
Not broke, don't fix it.
Yeah.
A scrambled egg 6X Junior.
That is.
I love it.
I like blue and white, but that's pretty.
you mentioned one forever. So I'm in 100% agreement with that entire rig. That's perfect. That's it. That's the perfect bang for the buck, and it's everything. If you were, though, like, throwing that weird caveat of, like, this is the last one forever, and money is burning a hole in your pocket, and you could pick anything, Shimano makes the coolest yo-yo jig reel that's ever been made that isn't meant for yo-yo jig fishing, that you have to do a couple of, you know, techie trick things too. So they make a jigging reel, that Osea Jigger 4000. Mm-hmm. It's meant for that, you know, knife jig type fishing, but it's very purpose built for that. It's got some features that kind of take it away from being a good yo-yo yellowtail reel. It's got like an auto engage clutch where, you know, when you turn the handle, it goes back into gear.
Or you cast.
Yeah. Well,
I've almost lost a few of those.
We can't have that for that reason. So the right. handle that comes with it is perfect for that big jigging thing, but it doesn't make for a great yo-yo jig thing. But if you modify those things out of it, you take the auto engage out of it and you put like a regular Trinidad 30 handle on it, that's it. It basically turns that reel into what would be a Trinidad 40, but a little bit narrowed up, but it's still fast and it's got all that crazy torque.
Exactly.
That's it. That's the one. Yeah. But it's not an inexpensive reel either. But if you're talking one one for the rest of the days,
that's the Gucci.
That's the one. It's Gucci to the max, boy, let me tell you. Hey, I had another fun text come through from Captain Cameron from Dwayne. It says, Cameron, what a great show this has been. I love hearing about the Mission Bell. You guys do such a great job. Can you give me a story? You've spent a lifetime on the water of one of your favorite National Geographic moments you've encountered in terms of wildlife on the water. That's from Jason.
Ooh, man, I have been so fortunate in what you witness and take for granted. I think one of the coolest things, and it's accessible to anyone, is I used to work those ecology trips on the Searcher. I'd get to do one a year.
Okay.
And because everyone had to have a license because they had the skiff. So if you took passengers on the skiff, you had to be able to. So Art would kind of recruit all of us and...
Yeah, anybody who's off in the off type of time of year.
San Ignacio.
Okay.
And petting a gray whale is, and it's doable. There's camps down there. You can go on the Searcher. Royal Polaris does them. To go in that lagoon and be with friendly gray whales and pet
cool.
and, you know, eye to eye and get blow spray all over your face. Like, there's nothing
I'll bet.
Like that.
Being that close to something that big. I've never done it, but I can't imagine something that's that big being docile to the point where you can bring the skiff up to it and touch it and do all those kinds of things.
And it, you know, you're not chasing them.
Yeah.
You know, the mom's pushing the baby up for it, and it's, you know, it's not SeaWorld.
That's pretty cool. It's the real deal.
It's the real deal. But San Ignacio, like, a couple more years, we're going.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's a 99.99% of the world will never, ever experience it. Right?
Yeah, and it's accessible. You can, you know, San Ignacio you can't necessarily just fly into, but you can fly, I think, into Loretto and take a van over, and there's camps on the beach and stuff, or you jump on the Searcher, you know, Royal Polaris, and go down to the lagoon for 2 days.
What an experience you're going to get on one of those trips, too, because they bring a naturalist with them, right? And it's it's their knowledge of all the things that you're seeing. And I'm sure even a guy like you that spent a lifetime on the water, you're soaking up info that you just don't know about, whether it be that particular, you know, it changes from, well, that's a whale to, like, well, that's this type of whale. And not only is it this type of whale, it's in this area doing this thing. Like, think about how much info you're going to soak up on a trip like that.
It's, you know, Brian had pushed us all to go do it. And that was kind of just go learn, you know. And it was like, I'm a fisherman. I've been going on a boat for 15 days and not fish, you know. And I couldn't, like, after it's like, sign me up.
I'll bet.
You know, the birds, the whales, and the Sea of Cortez, and humpbacks, and blue whales, and... taking the time to get up close for the blue whales coming out from underneath the hull. And I recommend it to any fisherman that, you know, any fish or die type of guy. You want to put a real perspective on it, one of those eco trips.
What a fun thing to do with your partner, too. Maybe, you know, maybe your gal's not crazy into fishing, but, you know, you go on the experience and you're still going to get that same great level of service that a boat like the Searcher or the RP is known for, and the good food. And there's zero pressure. You're not worried about getting a bite on the next day. You're just hanging out and enjoying what it
yeah,
throws.
Yeah, there's happy hours and barbecues on the back deck. I know Andy Rooster
right,
is starting
yeah.
to do them now.
Right.
And he has a masseuse. You know, it takes the, cool. the fishing part out. And, you know, these boats are, you know, they're beautiful. And it's a vacation. It's cool.
That's awesome, man. I love it.
I'm really a fan of the masseuse and the chiropractor on the long-range trips.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm ready to do it on the Mission Bell, man. It's a couple-hour drive coming home. Sign me up.
Unbelievable. Can you believe we have gone through 2 hours? Hey, we'll be right back. We'll be having Captain Cameron flip in that coin to see whether the lucky texter or caller will
be. I don't
think
Cameron's getting near that coin.
I think that's someone's job.
Someone else is going to be flipping that prize coin.
Somebody's going to get a full day trip on the Mission Bell when we come back. We'll be right back.
Do you know why a million customers visited Summit Gasoline last year at the San Diego Sports Arena? Because they give you the lowest price on fuel. Great service and easy access, even for trucks and trailers at their 24 pumps. Summit is known for the best price on ice, too. Almost half the cost of any other vendor. 25 pounds for just $3.99. Martha and her crew love fishermen, and they'll prove it by giving you 100 pounds free with a 35-gallon fill-up. Summit offers over 40 snacks and drinks to choose from for only 89 cents, and even a line of hand creams and lip balms for 89 cents too. Summit now proudly offers locally made burritos and sandwiches, made fresh daily and ready to go wherever the current takes you. Summit just upgraded their car wash, and for a limited time, get a deluxe car wash for only $6. Grab the wife's car, grab a cheap sandwich, and make up for the day on the water. Summit Gasoline, lowest prices, friendliest staff, easy access, and free ice. What more can you ask for?
A top fleet and superb fishing is what Seaforth Sport Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, it's no wonder Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Dos, Pride, Tribute Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth, Sea-Watch, and San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. For charters or regular open party schedule, check seaforthlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay. For your next fishing adventure, check Point Loma Sport Fishing. They offer half-day and full-day trips daily, perfect for families and the novice or seasoned fishermen. Point Loma Sport Fishing also offers overnight to multi-day trips, targeting the best of seasonal catches. Visit PointLomaSportFishing.com, where you can purchase tickets online and get more information on the trips available, or call 619-223-1627. Want to go fishing? Point Loma Sport Fishing has you covered. For your next fishing adventure, check Point Loma Sport Fishing. They offer half-day and full-day trips daily, perfect for families and the novice or seasoned fishermen. Point Loma Sport Fishing also offers overnight to multi-day trips, targeting the best of seasonal catches. Visit PointLomaSportFishing.com, where you can purchase tickets online and get more information on the trips available, or call 619-223-1627. Want to go fishing? Point Loma Sport Fishing has you covered.
One Rod has set the standard for serious saltwater anglers worldwide, and that's CalStar. From the rugged dependability of the West Coast series, the lightweight strength of the Graphiter, or the performance of the GG series, all CalStar rods are handmade right here in Southern California of the finest materials and craftsmanship. Check out the new CalStar models now available, as well as upgrades to the classic rods that you know and love. If you want your tackle to be state-of-the-art tools to get the job done right, it's CalStar at fine tackle dealers.
Everyone has their go-to fishing spot. My spot is Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. Rock Cod Rick here to say if you're looking for the ultimate Alaska experience and the best value in Alaska, it's Kingfisher Charters. Owner Steph Bone and his crew consistently delivered deluxe accommodations, the finest food, world-class fish processing, and top-of-the-line fishing experience. We've literally sent hundreds of our listeners to Kingfisher, and they all can't wait to go back. Most Alaska resorts make big promises, and they don't deliver, or they'll nickel and dime you to drive up the cost, but not Kingfisher. Everything is included. Your license, fish processing, super deluxe accommodation, amazing food, airport transfers, your gear. Literally all you need to bring is your layer clothing, and Kingfisher covers the rest. They also have the finest boats and charter captains in Sitka, all for the ultimate value. Take it from me. Book your trip to Kingfisher Charters and you'll thank me. Kingfisher Charters, 800-727-6136, or check kingfishercharters.com.
Back to Let's Talk Hookup. Well, here we are. We're going to have Jack flip the coin here to see who's going to win that full-day trip on the Mission Bell.
Let's
Let it go. And it's a texter.
We're going to have Mike from San Diego. You're going to win that full-day trip on the Mission Bell. Congratulations.
Nice flip. Yeah, that was perfect.
Great.
Solid flip. Well, hey, congratulations to Mike. And, man, we spent 2 hours talking about how much fun it is fishing on board the Bell. And, Mike, congratulations. I know you're going to have a great time. And, man, what more can you say? Just really, really pumped, Cameron. First, thanks for taking the time to come fishing with us. But more importantly, thanks to you and your family for continuing on the tradition of such a rad boat. And we can't wait to come do it and come fishing with you this year.
Yeah, we're excited. And, you know, if you start, you know, Instagram Mission Bell, you start following along, we'll show all our maintenance projects and kind of what we have going on and when we're going to start running. And
what is the page where we find that on Instagram?
Just Mission Bell Sport Fishing.
Okay, awesome.
And we do our best. And, you know, it's kind of been slow now, but as we get going here, there'll be daily posts and kind of let you guys know what we're up to and when the first trip is and all that.
And March is when we're thinking we're going to be up and running in go time?
Yeah.
I like it.
It's time.
All right. Well, we're pumped and so stoked to have you. One more time, too, if somebody wants to book a trip, book a charter, want to talk to you directly, how do we do all that?
619-693-2676.
Awesome. You're the best. Appreciate it very much.
All right, thank
you guys. Jack, thanks for taking care of us. Make sure to keep this guy in line, and we're looking forward to hearing some bass fishing here later on this summer, all right?
Okay.
All right, buddy. Thanks a lot for that. Hey, we sure appreciate you listening. Another couple of great shows coming for you up next. Tomorrow, on Sunday, we have Bob from Katmai Lodge. We're going to be talking Alaska. We're going to be talking all that amazing wildlife. Going to be a great show. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 7 to 9 a.m., right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app, as well as Facebook and YouTube Live, and on 97.3 The Fan.